I liked his words in the committee.
I've always liked him. I think he's great.
I even
Radim, thanks for calling in. Next time, call in a little bit earlier, all right?
I will.
But she's absolutely right on that. We have to protect Internet neutrality. Listen to Radim. That's all for me. I'll see you next week. This is Mark Levine signing off.
This is the Quality News Network. A House committee will pursue contempt charges against former White House counsel Harriet Myers after following the president's directive and not showing up for a hearing on the firings of federal prosecutors. The president invoked executive privilege, thus freeing Myers of making any testimony. The president said today during a press conference the interim progress report on the Iraq war is cause for optimism. The document shows Baghdad has met 8 out of 18 benchmarks, but has failed on another 8, with 2 goals having mixed results. President Bush said the U.S. mission can succeed in Iraq, adding troops will be withdrawn when conditions warrant it. The president also commented on the commutation of Lewis Scooter Libby's prison sentence, saying it was a, quote, fair and balanced decision. President Bush said today he is sending Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and Defense Secretary Robert Gates to the Middle East next month. The two will attempt to strengthen international support for democracy in Iraq. The latest intelligence report says al-Qaeda has restored its operating capabilities to its strongest since 9/11. According to a U.S. counterterrorism analyst, the terrorist group has utilized its safe haven along the Afghan-Pakistan border and has repositioned itself to better attack the West. The International Atomic Energy Agency, the UN's nuclear watchdog group, has reached an agreement with Iran regarding how to proceed with negotiations over the state's nuclear activities. The agreement comes soon after Tehran's cooperation in scaling back its uranium enrichment program. That program, if not fully suspended, may lead to further UN sanctions. Former Newark Mayor Sharp James was indicted on corruption charges today for allegations involving land sales and improper use of city-issued credit cards. The 71-year-old faces 33 counts of fraud for approving the sale of city-owned land to a female companion at below-market prices. The indictment also cites the use of city credit cards for funding vacations with 8 women in the U.S. and South America. It is reported that James has turned himself in to the FBI. South Dakota's first execution in 60 years was held last night. A 25-year-old Texas man was put to death by lethal injection for the torture and murder of a 19-year-old during a home robbery. Funeral services are pending for First Lady Lady Bird Johnson following her death yesterday in Austin, Texas. She was 94. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
If you're a news junkie, there's a book you must read called Don't Mess with the Press, How to Write, Report, and Produce Quality Television News. Don't Mess with the Press is a textbook for journalism students and a handbook for people already in the business. While written primarily as an instructional guide, Don't Mess with the Press is also useful for people who follow the news closely, who want to understand how news decisions are made by quality reporters to ensure they get the best news coverage possible. Don't Mess with the Press was written by Tony Seaton, founder and executive producer of the Quality News Network. Tony began his broadcast journalism career in his teens, eventually covering Watergate, 6 elections, 5 space shots, and a wide range of general news. He also produced Barbara Walters' news interviews for ABC. Ordering information for Don't Mess with the Press can be found at qualitynewsnetwork.com. Visit our website and click on the Don't Mess with the Press link.
An investigation will begin in the disappearance of $22 million in computers and other equipment from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. In the last 3 years, there have been 61 investigations into the disappearance of CDC property, none of which resulted in disciplinary action. Florida's governor is poised to sign an executive order requiring stricter greenhouse gas emissions from automobiles. His legislation would also raise energy standards on new construction and force utilities to generate 20% of their power from renewable sources. A dozen scientists in a 41-foot raft made of reeds and wooden planks have set sail on a trip from New York to Spain. The journey, which is expected to take 2 weeks, is attempting to prove that Stone Age sailors could have made a similar voyage. 92% of Americans favor labels on food revealing the product's country of origin. That's according to a poll by Consumer Reports magazine. The publication says the majority of those surveyed approve stricter food labeling laws in general. China Central Television is reporting that the main ingredient in Beijing-made steamed buns is cardboard. Chemical softeners, pork fat, and powdered seasonings are also included in the recipe. Light sweet crude is up, trading $72.97 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up at 284. The NASDAQ was up 50. The S&P 500 up 29. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Reed Kavner.
Okay! Don't you!
South America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Oh my God. Some days are diamonds, and some days are rocks. And as Charlie Brown said in It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown, I got a rock. Wrong button there, Agnes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, dear, but, you know, I think you understand and you'll agree. We'll have to cut your pay for today.
I won't even say anything.
Hmm.
I like you going up, Bob.
Damn. I'm going home now. Oh, wait a minute. Damn. It was a little bit rough there trying to get the news going to you, and Agnes was sitting there working the board like Lieutenant Sulu trying to work the tractor beam. I can't get him, Captain. I can't bring him through. Oh, sorry, that's Scotty, not Sulu. And so then she keys the mic and turns the mic on, points at me, and well, howdy. And I'm like, wait a minute, Helen Keller's in my ear, and I can't hear anything.
You just don't want to live, do you?
And then we realized that she had the wrong microphone turned on. Oh, my God, I'm sounding like Joe Lieberman. So, anyway.
Some of us are divas and some of us aren't. I was bad. Please forgive me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Okay, I'm regrouping here. I'm taking a breath. I'm breathing in. Breathing out. Letting go. Letting go now. Letting everything go. I'm not going to begin the program screaming. I'm not going to begin the program screaming. I'm probably going to begin the program screaming. I'm just ashamed. Some days are better than others. Some days are worse. And, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about the fundamentalists and their wickedness and their evil nature and how they want to destroy America and bring a theocracy to bear. And you know, we catch them. If you were listening to Peter Godbold the other night on Strictly Confidential, he read you the statements from the Christian Reconstructionists who advocate public stonings as a form of capital punishment, and the one creep, and I mean creep, who says he wants to do stonings because there are lots of rocks in America. And it infuriates you, and it's mildly terrifying, And the only solace is you sit there and you go, well, you know, I mean, there's not that many of them. But it turns out that thousands of them are gathering at places like the Baptist Retreat near Asheville, North Carolina. And there are a lot more of them than you think. And even after you read the really disgusting stories about them, you step back from it. And you think, common sense will surely prevail. So yesterday was Wednesday, and yesterday was prayer meeting. And I opened the program with the action alert from the American Family Association, who were just horrified by the idea that there was going to be prayer in the United States Senate. And they were horrified that there was going to be prayer in the United States Senate because it was going to be offered by a cleric of the wrong God. All gods, of course, being invisible, unprovable, never having spoken to us, never had... Yeah. Oh, wait, he wrote on that... No, he didn't. That's all mythology. God being a spiritual thing that exists, if it exists at all, inside the hearts and minds of humankind. We've never seen a manifestation of worship from any other member of the animal kingdom. Only humankind invents God and then kills over the invention. And I'm really not trying to turn this into prayer meeting on a Thursday. I'm not. But I brought you that story yesterday at the beginning of the program about the American Family Association having their little 75-square-foot blue-striped, purple polka-dotted hissy over a Hindu priest named Rajan Zed from Nevada, from Vegas, who was going to deliver the opening prayer in the Senate of the United States this morning. And the American Family Association was all beside themselves. Call your senator. Call your senator. Oh, my God. God will kill us all if the Hindu prays. Well, there's only a few billion Hindus. God hasn't smitten any of them lately. You know, in this smarmy press, this sickening, this disgusting, this revolting press release from the American Family Association had quotes from some goon, a liar from an organization called Wall Builders, in which he says, the Hindu religion has never produced any great thinking or any great leaders. How about Gandhi, you freak? Well, like I said, never any great leaders. It's not like they produced Jesus Christ. Of course, in many ways, Mohandas K. Gandhi was as holy, and some would say more so, than Jesus Christ, or Yeshua, his real name. And I'm just embarrassed today. I'm sad, I'm sick, and I'm embarrassed. Because I told you about all this yesterday in anticipation of this event. It's just the opening prayer to the United States Senate. It's public hypocrisy if you take your Christianity seriously. But of course we can't not pray in the Senate, because then all the God squatters would just wet themselves and, well... David Vitters would probably just do that anyway. So this man, this Hindu priest, Rajan Zed, stands up today to deliver an invocation at the beginning of the Senate session. And what happens? Well... The religious right came through in spades. I'm looking at a photograph of him right now. This Hindu priest, Rajan Zed. And he's looking off to one side like he's wondering if he's about to be shot. According to Reuters, three protesters disrupted a prayer by a Hindu chaplain Thursday at the opening of a Senate hearing, calling it an abomination and shouting slogans about Jesus Christ. Barry Lynn over at Americans United for Separation of Church and State said, and I quote, "This shows the intolerance of many religious right activists. They say they want more religion in the public square, but it's clear they mean only their religion." Which is, of course, entirely true. But I fear that Barry Lynn misses the point just a little bit. He says, "This shows the intolerance of many religious right activists." No, Barry, this shows the intolerance of the religious right as a whole. Okay? The right-wing religion industry is nothing but Sinclair Lewis described, fascism coming to America wrapped in a flag and carrying a cross. These freaks got up and screamed at the top of their rotten, stinking lungs, "There's only one true God! No Lord but Jesus Christ!" Wait, I'm a little confused now. I thought I was pretty well down with Christian theology and doctrine and everything. I thought there's only one true God? I was under the impression that there were three. But he was one. You know, 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. You know, the Holy Trinity that was invented out of whole cloth at the Council of Nicaea, after which Constantine had the doctrinological losers of that debate killed. There's only one true God! And which one would that be? You know, God. Well, okay, which God? God. And that would be, well, the one who created the earth. Oh, you mean Krishna? Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. See, there's three, like I just said. So one of the things that is redeeming is that we walk away from all of this and we know that this is a big country and there's theoretically at least room for everyone. But unfortunately, and we will be disrupted from time to time by these freaks. But you know what? As the pressure mounts, and you can feel it, and maybe Rajan Zed would be the guy to ask about it. It feels like some sort of an energy pressure. Do you feel it? Is it because these are the long, hot dog days of summer when snakes go blind and I don't know. Is that what it is? Is it just hot and miserable and therefore tempers run high? I truly don't know. But I know that something like this today, I mean, you don't see the Hindus sitting in the gallery of the Senate disrupting fundamentalists when they come and pray, "Dear Lord Jesus, baby Christ!" The Buddhists aren't chanting or beating on cymbals or whacking gongs or anything when some fundamentalist wants to come in and handle snakes and speak in tongues in the Senate. The rabbis aren't up there davening and chanting when some Southern Baptist wants to come up and, "Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank Thee." There's lots of religious tolerance in this country. There's no group of imams in the gallery of the Senate repeating verses from Holy Quran when some member of the first Pentecostal apostolic herpetological center and worship worship carnival comes along and chugs down some strychnine and tastes like the Holy Spirit. Amen, Jesus. There's lots of tolerance. There's only one place where there isn't tolerance, and that is in the Republican right. How many times did liberals, progressives, atheists, the people among us who say Hindus, Buddhists, Jews, Muslims, Jainists, animists, Native American spirit worshippers, Christians, you're all crazier than a outhouse roach, rat. None of it's real. It's all made up crap. It's garbage. It's doo-doo. It's foolishness. The atheists don't show up in the Senate gallery and disrupt the morning prayer. Only the followers of Jesus do that. Only the followers of Jesus holler, "No, Lord, but Jesus Christ! There's only one true God!" And I hate them. I have all my life worked to avoid using that word, hate. I was taught all my young life growing up not to hate anyone or anything. I was taught that it was consumptive, that it was destructive to hate, that hate did as much to the person doing the hating and more than it did to the person being hated. And I think my sainted mother, God rest her soul, something rest her soul, nothing rest her soul, I think she may have been right. But there comes a time when when someone becomes so damned odious that not hating them is irrational and delusional. I hate these rotten bastards. I despise them. Are you a right-wing religious fundamentalist? I hate you. I despise you. You are filth to me. You know, right-wing religious fundamentalist, fundamentalism in general, it doesn't give us Gandhi. It gives us suicide bombers. It doesn't give us Dr. King. It gives us Timothy McVeigh. And then we are reaching a critical mass in this country where if we don't stand up to the, because they hide behind this bullshit of faith.
Well, you can't criticize my faith. That's not nice.
You know what? If we don't just pull back from that, if we don't disavow that, if we don't start criticizing these people's faith, their faith will kill us! And they'll kill you, and they'll kill your children, and they'll kill your grandchildren, and they will kill generations yet undreamt of! Because they are fundamentalists. And death is their stock in trade. I wish to heaven there had been some really mean atheist in the gallery just to ball bat the living daylights out of those stupid sons of bitches in the gallery of the Senate. I wish there had been. Religious tolerance, my ass. I'm tired of their religious tolerance because they don't have any. Religious tolerance is what we have to extend to those sons of bitches so that they can disrupt proceedings. So that they can show up at soldiers' funerals and miners' funerals and scream, "Faggot lovers are going to hell!" There's one cure for it, and it's measured in caliber, and it's measured in ounces of ball bat. I'm sick of them! I'm tired of these stories. I don't know about you. I try to be tolerant. Oh, that's lovely. You believe that you eat a cracker and it turns into cannibalistic human flesh in your belly. How nice for you. Screw them! Right-wing fundamentalists. Done. I'm done. I've tried to be so nice about it all. Oh, well, okay, you believe that dead people get up after they've already gone and went and been dead. That's nice for you. I'm glad you've got that faith. Screw you. I don't see any other way, because if we don't stand up to them and start speaking straight up to their face, they are going to overrun this country and there will not be a future. The Constitution, the First Amendment to the Constitution, as I've already mentioned, is nothing but a life support system for the stinking religion industry as it stands. If we don't start taking, we're losing ground every day. The sergeant of arms was called and these protesters were taken politely by the, you know, they weren't dragged out of the Senate like somebody protesting the war was during George Bush's State of the Union. They were politely escorted from the room. I bet they weren't even charged with a crime. No, because it was their First Amendment right to scream, "No Lord but Jesus, and only one true God." You're charged with a crime if you stand in the gallery of the Senate and say, "You miserable sons of bitch and thugs in the war in Iraq, there's blood all over the lot of you." That'll get you charged with a crime. Disrupting a man's prayer because you don't like the color of his skin or the invisible stuff that he believes in, however, that's protected political speech. It's religious speech. It's an important kind. Screw the political speech. You can't say bong hits for Jesus. But you can, in the Senate of the United States, scream, "Only one true God." Whack! Pray louder, Christian. Your God can't hear you. Whack! I feel a little better somehow. I really do. I really, really do. Whack! Let's talk to Susan. Maybe she can help. Susan! For God's sakes, get the pixie dust!
Here's a sack on your head. Quack. You are having a hell of a time with that baseball bat, aren't you, Bob?
Oh, I want one so bad. I had a Johnny Bench model when I was a kid, and it really felt good in my hands.
Well, yeah, I know. Some of those were old. I never did like the aluminum bats to me.
No.
They're a cheat. The wood bat.
Yeah,
I used to play baseball until I got hit. I was playing catcher and got hit in the head with a.
Ow!
Yeah, I was playing catcher and I got too close to the batter and he took a really good cut.
That'll do it. That'll do it.
Yeah, that'll do it.
I'm sick of these people, Susan. I am sick to daggum death.
Yeah, I understand that. Believe me, I understand it. I noticed that, I wonder what they would do if somebody like me went into the gallery of the Senate and started drawing a pentagram in chalk.
Oh, no, they'd drag you out by your hair and probably give you a good thumping in the hallway.
Yeah, bring out the whole, the chalk and the incense and the candles. Oh, my God. Yeah, actually, there's a reason we don't do that.
And
a major tenet of Wicca is...
do no harm.
No, that's the Hippocratic Oath.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Do no evil?
No, and it harm none.
Okay.
No. A major tenet...
I was close. You got to give me that.
Yes, you were close. a major tenet of Wicca is tolerance, because if you don't give it, you can't expect it, and God knows we need it bad. However, that tolerance does not require that you stand there and be slaughtered. We are allowed to defend ourselves.
Well, you know, that reminds me a little bit of, the Sikhs. You know, those are the dudes that walk around with these razor-sharp daggers in their belts.
Yeah.
And they are known as being some of the most ferocious fighters on earth. But first and foremost, out of their the tenth guru, I can't remember the name of the book, is, you know, if nobody's screwing with you, how about you don't screw with anybody else?
Mm-hmm. The main way that the Wiccans avoid being slaughtered is we have the ability to turn back somebody's intentions on the attacker.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would be too much to hope that when they walked out of the Capitol, they crossed the street and were hit by a bus. But you know, that would be fine by me.
No, that's a little bit too removed. But if you get a good example is a mugger.
Mm-hmm.
You can't attack him, but if he attacks you, you can turn it around and take his intention, and reflect them. And he gets them back multiplied 3 times.
Well, apparently, I don't know. Maybe I've just screwed myself again.
No, because you're not Wiccan.
No. I mean, but spirit is spirit, and I understand all of that, and I understand the idea of karma, and what goes around comes around. Many religions have that kind of a concept inside it. And I try to be so careful of it, and I try to, they're wrong.
Honest to God, did you honestly plan to go out and find yourself a right-wing religious fundy and beat his head in? No.
No, no, no.
Okay, then. Don't sweat it.
But I sure wish somebody would. I mean, it wouldn't have bothered me one bit to have seen footage of somebody just walking up behind one of these fundies and caving their head in like a melon.
Actually, it would have. I know you well enough to know it would have.
Somebody's got to straighten these people out, and the thing is, they hide behind the skirts of the Constitution, and they hide behind the First Amendment, and that makes everybody afraid to tell them that they're crazy, that they're dangerous, that they're evil and wicked, and meanwhile they go around and the business with the tender vitters, the senator
vitters just cracks me up.
Yeah, but you've got to see, and I saw, I guess it was Keith Olbermann found the footage of him from the Senate where he's talking, we may not appreciate it here inside the Beltway in Washington, but I can tell you I appreciate it, and I can tell you the folks back in Louisiana appreciate how important it is to have a single family unit with a marriage blessed by God and the children therefrom, and that's the best way to stay healthy and happy is to get married and remain faithful on the floor of the Senate.
Yeah. I know you well enough to know if you saw somebody done in that way, it would tear you up.
I was disturbed when Robert De Niro did it with special effects in the Untouchables. Okay.
You are pure mush inside.
Yeah, I guess I am, but Lord, what are we supposed to do? Susan, help me here, darling. What are we supposed to do?
You can rail against the injustice. You can say, we need to fix this. You can try and find ways to fix it. But you can never, ever, ever do something like that because it's against your nature. And that's why karma's not going to turn around and bite you.
Well, I thank you. That makes me feel a little bit better. But I'm at the... maybe
you know who's going to bite?
Them, I hope.
You bet your bippy is.
But I want the biting with big jaws and sharp, nasty teeth and biblical proportions where nobody can miss the lesson. I mean, this is where whoever those protesters were, or Donald Wildman down in Tupelo, Mississippi, a big rock needs to fall out of the sky with a sign on it that says, "From God, you jerk." You know, You know, like Monty Python or the foot and the... Yeah.
Yeah, I understand your frustration, but we don't get the choice in that. Karma don't work that way. Karma is to teach the person that has erred. It's not for anybody else. It's for them alone.
Which is
why I know that somewhere way back when or whenever, I don't know when, considering my present life, I must have done something really icky, because I'm paying for it now.
Agnes tells me I was a pharaoh, because I've still got the attitude of one. Peel me a grape. Send me more. Yeah.
No, actually, it wasn't the pharaohs that were into peeled grapes. It was more the Greeks.
But you get the idea.
Yeah.
Send a servant. You know, that's why I am where I am.
I want a slave girl.
Yes, I especially like the ones with the little symbols on their fingers. Send her in.
Yeah. And the redhead.
Don't start. No, boy. yeah, redheads. It's like kryptonite to me. I saw all those years ago, I saw Agnes, and my knees turned to jello, and I just knew it was over.
Ah, yes. You see, karma does act in good ways, too.
She doesn't believe me, but it really was true. I just went, I'm done, you know.
I do.
Yeah. So, do you understand, Susan?
Believe it. They will pay. They will pay in ways that you nor I can ever imagine.
It's the harm that they do. It's the harm that they do before the before the bill comes due.
I know. And that hurts. And that hurts. It hurts.
You know, when I saw this story, yeah, I knew it was going to happen. I mean, I made light of it last night when I opened the story with the American Family Association action alert. I knew what was going to go down. But it still it offends me at a level of my secular soul. Because the Constitution was not designed to protect that speech. The Constitution,
Constitution was designed to protect all speech, honey.
But the First Amendment was put in place so that people could worship as they chose, as they saw fit, when they saw fit, where they saw fit, and that they wouldn't have to put up with those freaks. Because you see, these people standing in the gallery of the Senate were the same people that 100 years ago were Knight Riders. And 200 years ago, we're burning down synagogues.
I understand that.
And the First Amendment is not designed to protect that.
And they were killing Jews. And they were killing Catholics.
Yeah, exactly. Catholics. They killed Anglicans, these Puritans. Yes. They killed each other. They pressed each other with stones for the love of God.
Well, no, that was only one guy because he refused to open his mouth.
One's enough.
Well, that was because the guy knew. Whatever he said, he was dead. And he just refused to give them the satisfaction.
Right.
He was one of those, he was actually probably the first American liberal who said, okay, I'm not giving you creeps the satisfaction. You're going to kill me. You're going to kill me and eat it.
Well,
they did.
European countries have hate laws, and I've wondered sometimes if they go too far, because my devotion to the First Amendment is profound.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that these people are doing to me, Susan, is they are making me reconsider what the First Amendment is and what it ought to be.
That would be sad.
It's not a drape behind which one may hide one's hate. It is not a cover for bigotry. It's not camouflage for prejudice.
No, but it is the right to believe in the way you believe, which is why the ACLU defended the right of those monstrous Nazis to hold a parade in Skokie.
And are probably going to be defending the right of Fred Phelps.
Yes. They don't like these people any more than you or I, but they serve one thing, They serve it better than George W. Bush does. They serve the Constitution of the United States.
But, you know, I think these people didn't get in the gallery and scream at an imam, and they don't get in the gallery and scream at a rabbi, okay? It's the monotheism thing, okay? They got and I'll tell you, because I, you know, psychology really is, and our good friend Rick Goodner could speak to this so much better than I can, because he really is a real live, honest to God psychologist. But psychology is an onion, Susan, you know that. And there are layers, and there are layers within layers, and layers within the layers that have layers. And one of the things I think that really brought out, that so thoroughly antagonized these right-wingers is the fact that this man was a Hindu cleric, a Hindu priest. All right.
And the Hindus have nothing if not lots of gods.
Well, not just that. Not just that. They are mostly brown people. Okay. They did give us Mohandas K. Gandhi.
Yes.
Who in turn gave us Martin Luther King. Because one of the things that you have to acknowledge is that Martin Luther King's liberation theology, some of it is picked and chosen from Christianity, but a lot of it is straight out of Gandhi.
That we stole a lot of via England.
It's straight out of Gandhi, and so the rise of civil rights, the emancipation, and the what of it that we have. The integration of all so-called races in this country can be traced back to Hinduism. And these people, these religious fundamentalists, are at their very core, hardcore, they're Klansmen, okay?
Yeah.
And they're racists, and they're bigots, and they're among the most disgusting humans in the United States. And at their core, I think this is part of what motivated them and what horrifies them so much. Is that some levels of live and let, there's a whole lot of live and let live in Hinduism. You know, like I said last night, you know, you've got a new god, well, welcome to the Hindu pantheon. We'll move a statue over and put your god there.
Exactly.
And nobody gets to be super god.
And that just bugs them to death.
Oh, it drives the Muslims crazy. It drives the Christians crazy.
But that's why the Hindu religion has survived as long as it has, because instead of being conquered by all of these invading armies, it has just quietly absorbed all of these religions as they've come through.
It's rather Borgish when you get down to it.
Sure.
But you know, but it's so true. You know, that religion was ancient, as I said last night, when the people who wrote the Bible were fighting with the rats over whatever the vultures left.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that old.
Not to mention the North Americans were busily scratching fleas and trying to get out of their caves.
Yeah. Oh, it's. Thank you for pulling me off the ledge. I need that. I need it.
Well,
but I don't. Right, but I don't. Now, I don't know what we do. Because I'm sick of having to tolerate this crap. I mean, they've run the tolerance all out of me, Susan.
What you do is you do what you can, and let karma take care of the rest, hon. Do what you can. Let karma take care of the rest.
Oh boy, I've got to. Much easier to take care of it ourselves.
Honey, you can only do so much. You can't save the entire planet. You're not God. I'm sorry. You're not the lady.
Dear Jesus.
Not gonna happen.
Dear Jesus, please don't make that ball bat materialize in my hands. Thank you. Susan, you take care, darling.
You too, and you have a really nice night.
Letting go now. Letting go now. Letting go now.
Take a deep breath. Good night, hon.
Bye.
Bye.
Coffee. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye. I understand that there's always going to be some dynamic tension in anything that purports to be a free society. That's the problem, though. There's not much freedom left in our free society. And we have the religious fundamentalists, we have the right-wingers, we have the conservatives to thank for it. You know, for God's sakes, there's Alberto Gonzalez, who, with his close to us, you know, he's always got that stupid little half-giggle look on his face. Damn, I'm Attorney General. How'd I get here? Ain't this country great? He's always got that look on his face, and he sits there with that face on his face in front of the Congress and testifies. Was he under oath when he was testifying for the Patriot Act? Well, it doesn't really matter. He was testifying before Congress, and giving and lying to Congress under oath or not is still criminal. And he said, at the time that the Patriot Act's extension of the Patriot Act was being considered, I can't even talk. He said, there has not been one instance of an abuse of the Patriot Act. And at that point in time, he had already been briefed on countless, upwards of 1,000 abuses of the Patriot Act. He looked at members of Congress and outright lied. But the right-wing fundamentalists won't get upset about that. The right-wing fundamentalists want to put "thou shalt not lie" on the wall of every federally funded structure in this country, from courthouses to grain silos. But they don't want to live by it. And so they get upset about a man praying more or less secular prayer in front of the Senate, but they can't get upset about 1 million dead Iraqi civilians. They can't get upset about government corruption that is up, so it is right, it's entering our nostrils, and we can't even breathe anymore without pulling a little bit more filth into our body politic. And they can tolerate that. That's all right. And I hate them. I despise them. I loathe them. I don't think there are sufficient words to describe what I feel about these religious fundamentalists who can swallow a mountain but gag on a gnat. So I'm going to take a break, take a big old swig of sweet iced tea, and we'll come back and see if I can find something else to talk about, because I'm just going to sit here and spit for the rest of the night if this thing stays on the table. You're welcome to join in, 304-658-5912. Please feel free to do so. This is America's Liberal Voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University. and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
I never thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing as school.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they plant a tree at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves that he's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
About 9 minutes before the hour, we pride ourselves as liberals on our tolerance, because most of the things that we pride ourselves on tolerating aren't something that the word tolerate applies to. If you take a hard look at humanity, it's none of my business to tolerate how somebody else has sex. Because it has no bearing on my life. So tolerance is, it's not really a tolerance issue. It's none of my damn business. Okay? You know, we tolerate people of other regions. Why would you have to tolerate that? You're a human too. Where one sits on this little blue-green time machine hurtling through the universe is really rather inconsequential. So, tolerance is a non-issue. And I don't mean that negatively, I mean that in a very positive sense. What's for me to tolerate if you come from India? What's for me to tolerate if you come from the steppes of Russia? What should I tolerate if you come from Kansas? It's baloney. You are who you are. And who you are is very similar to who I are. Am. But the thing is, we as liberals and progressives manifest that so-called tolerance because just living and letting live stands in such stark relief against what the other side is like. And yet at the same time, we've got some of it ourselves. You know, I've heard how Northerners talk about Southerners in the U.S., and God knows I've heard how Southerners talk about Northerners. You know the word. Begins with a Y. And rhymes with Anki. But it seems like the idea of tolerance is something that stands out because of the absence of it, if this makes any sense at all. This shouldn't even be a discussion topic. And yet, we talk tolerance in the liberal and progressive community because it actually is central to us that we make it positively known that there's that we do have room for everybody. And that we will find our way together as human beings and not as fragmented subsets of something or another. It's painful. I'm telling you, it causes me physical pain. This stuff. And yet, if I'm going to stay true to what I believe in, I have to go, oh, well, people will be people, and some people are ignorant as dirt, and some people will behave like that in the Senate gallery, and they'll scream at a Hindu priest. And I have to do that because I'm tolerant. But I'm for there's something cooking in my head, in my psyche, whatever, that applying tolerance to religion is a little bit bogus. Or maybe not so much tolerance, but agreement, or tacit agreement, or tacit acceptance. Sure, you want to be a fundamentalist? Okay, fine. Welcome to America. You can be a fundamentalist. But the idea of tolerance does not extend to suggest that I can't look at you when you're a fundamentalist and say, you know what? You're crazy. You should not be allowed to make any significant decisions in American society. You might not be. It could be that you shouldn't be allowed to vote because you believe insane stuff. And frankly, I don't think that's being intolerant. I think that is being realistic. If a person came up to you outside the boundaries of so-called Christianity and said, you know what? Someday I'm going to die. And after I die, they're going to embalm me and put me in a box, and they're going to put that box in a concrete vault, and they're going to put the lid on the vault, and they're going to cover the lid on the vault with dirt 6 feet deep. And then sometime after that, my dead, putrid, rotten body is going to get up out of the box, out of the vault, and out of the dirt, and fly up into the sky. If somebody came along and said that to you, you would think that they were insane. And then they go, and I believe that because I'm a Christian, and they, oh, let me tolerate your faith. It will be the end of us yet as a country. Because these evil bastards stand up and they say rotten, mean, vile, dangerous stuff, and we go, but wait, and they go, I'm only saying it because I'm a Christian. Oh, let me tolerate that. It is honest to God enough to make you kick furniture and hurt your toes. Because you see, dead bodies don't get up and go. Humankind has been on the planet for something around 2.5 million years. And at no time in the entire recorded or pre-recorded history of that era has anything dead ever gotten up and gone again. And wait a minute, the dinosaurs were on Earth for millions of years. And not one dinosaur ever got up and went again after it was already done dead. It doesn't happen. And I realize that there are Christian sects out there that don't buy into this premillennialist or postmillennialist baloney, malarkey. They don't buy into it. That's just crazy. But because we're afraid of the fundamentalists, because they tend to march, because they tend to blow things up, Eric Rudolph, because they tend to kill innocent people, Matthew Shepard, and then giggle about it, Fred Phelps, we say, well, we'll tolerate the fact that you believe in sane crap, and maybe you won't hurt us. But you know what? They have meetings like they do in Asheville, North Carolina, and they plan to hurt you anyway. And what we mistakenly call tolerance is actually fear. And tolerance does not apply to people who are seeking to overturn our way of life and our government. And we'd better damned well learn to fight back. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Listen, Jesus, I don't like what I see. All I ask is that you listen to me. And remember, I've been your right-hand man all along. You have set them all on fire. They think they found the new Messiah. And they'll hurt you when they find they're wrong. I remember when this whole thing began. No talk of God, then we called you a man.
This is Equality News Network. A new intelligence report says Al-Qaeda has restored its operating capabilities to its strongest since 9/11. According to a U.S. counterterrorism analyst, the terrorist group has used its safe haven along the Afghan-Pakistan border and has repositioned itself to better attack the West. A battle in a Shiite area of Baghdad killed 19 people. Two were employed by the Reuters news agency. The battle began as U.S. troops carried out a pre-dawn raid, taking into custody two militants believed to be responsible for kidnappings and roadside bombings. President Bush focuses on the positive findings of the interim progress report on the Iraq war. At a morning press conference, he said the document shows Baghdad has satisfactorily met 8 out of 18 benchmarks thus far. It also showed Iraq's failed on another 8, and 2 had mixed results. The president said he'll begin drawing down forces only when military commanders say the conditions on the ground warrant it. The president also commented on the commutation of Lewis Scooter Libby's prison sentence, calling it a, quote, fair and balanced decision. President Bush says he's sending Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and Defense Secretary Robert Gates to the Middle East next month. The two will work to strengthen international support for democracy in Iraq. A Senate panel hears details of a government sting designed to demonstrate weakness in the Nuclear Regulatory Commission's licensing system. Federal investigators invented a phony company and were awarded a permit to receive enough radioactive materials to build a dirty bomb. A House committee has taken the first step to pursue contempt charges against former White House counsel Harriet Myers after she refused to testify at hearings today on the firings of federal prosecutors. Myers says she's following the president's directive. He invoked executive privilege, saying he needs to protect the flow of information he receives. Former Newark Mayor Sharp James has been indicted on corruption charges. It's alleged the 71-year-old sold city land to a female companion at below market prices and that he used city-issued credit cards to pay for overseas vacations with 8 different women. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We have science and business news coming up after this.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for: quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway. carmel.com.
12 scientists in a 41-foot raft made of reeds and wooden planks have set sail on a trip from New York to Spain. The journey is expected to take 2 weeks and is attempting to prove that Stone Age sailors could have made a similar voyage. Florida's governor is poised to sign an executive order requiring stricter greenhouse gas emissions from automobiles. His legislation would also raise energy standards on new construction and force utilities to generate 20% of their power from renewable sources. China's Central Television is reporting that the main ingredient in Beijing-made steamed buns is cardboard. Industrial chemical softeners, pork fat, and powdered seasonings are also included in the recipe. The maker of the popular snack has been shut down. 92% of Americans favor labels on food revealing the product's country of origin. That's according to a poll by Consumer Reports magazine. And mining giant Rio Tinto has agreed to buy Canada's Alcan for $38.1 billion, creating the world's largest aluminum producer. The deal would also end hostile advances on Alcan from Alcoa. Light sweet crude is trading at $72.91. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow soared 200.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right. I'm going to try to get some of this out of my system. But I want to share something with you real quick, like. From a website called 8-Ball Magazine. It says, Nkrumah Stewards Raw Dogma. Nkrumah? I don't know. And he writes, a light bulb appears over my head. I finally get it. For the democratic process to run properly, it necessitates the voter to have some knowledge of what he is voting on. For it to work properly, it requires voters to cast their votes based on an educated opinion. If you're going to vote on something like stem cell research, you should at least know what it is, correct? Right with you so far, buddy. Sadly, that isn't how many Americans vote, as is obvious when during an election year people are talking about whether or not someone quote unquote looks presidential and whether that person looks likable. Well, the question is, how can Americans vote on such things as global warming, stem cell research, cloning, and what have you, when basic scientific fundamental concepts fly right over our heads? How true. American adults in general do not understand what molecules are, other than they are really little. Fewer than a third can identify DNA as a key to heredity. Only about 10% know what radiation is. One adult American in five, and this is the real kicker. I'd put down the drink before you have to do the spit take there, Agnes, because this is a beauty. One adult American in five thinks the sun revolves around the earth. Three of those were in the Senate gallery today. By the way, they screamed, I forgot to mention this part, because it'll make you feel a little closer there to Rajan Zed. The fundies in the gallery, Agnes, screamed that he was an abomination. Everybody knows you're the abomination, dear.
I'm going to ride the beast.
You ride it down to the store for a loaf of bread every day. Just get on the beast and...
That's right.
Oh, beast! Let's go, beast! That little bit of data, one in five Americans thinks the sun revolves around the earth, as well as, you know, hundreds of popes, comes from John D. Miller, a political scientist who directs the Center for Biomedical Communications at Northwestern University's Medical School in Chicago. He regularly surveys Americans for his clients, which include the National Science Foundation, and he surveys them about the public's knowledge and attitudes toward science in general. according to this guy, most Americans, wait for it, don't know what a cell is. They do not know what a cell is. Oh, you, isn't that what we've got? They're sleeping, and then they're Al-Qaeda. Americans, on top of not having a clue to what a cell is or what radiation is or even that the Earth revolves around the sun, are letting religious leaders dictate to them what to vote on issues that would take knowledge of basic scientific fundamentals. Because I'm assuming, he says, that they are assuming that since these religious leaders are supposedly moral and ethical authorities, they should be qualified to figure out where we stand on these scientific issues. But who's to say that they even know what these basic scientific concepts are? What a dangerous misstep. Fact. Polls show that in general, people who adhere to fundamentalist views are not well educated. And you see, these goobers, there's more to this than meets the eye, because these goobers who were in the gallery of the Senate today screaming abomination about a Hindu priest, they think that they have some sort of moral superiority to, in particular, Muslims. And they make great sport of it when stories come out about, say, an Ayatollah in Iraq, because this was a real story, who delivered fatwas or edicts about what is and isn't acceptable. And of course, the Ayatollah can barely read his own holy scripture. His schooling has been limited to whatever is between the two covers of the Quran. And, you know, probably had to attend remedial shoe tying. It's no different for them now than it was for priests in the Roman Catholic Church in, say, the 11th century. The Dark Ages, brought to you by Mother Church. But we these fundamentalists, we worship the true God. Did you hear that Ayatollah over there in Iraq? He was telling them which hand to hold the cell phone in, based on the Quran. And it's easy just to sit back and look at the idiots. But my friends, we're a little spoiled here. We talk in fairly cogent terms. We speak with a considerable degree of intelligence, far more that of the average Republican voter, God knows. And we tend to think, because we hang out here and we talk amongst ourselves, that the world is like this. It isn't. I hope we don't have to find out. But there, the places where there's intelligent conversation, where there's discourse and dialogue and process, are so rare as to be like islands, and certainly not continents in this nation. And swirling about us are vast, polluted, stinking oceans of ignorance. And they would just as soon swallow you up and me up. And they look toward a day when they can. And that is why it is important, in cases like that of Senator Vitters, to hound him out of public life. It is important that these people be run out of public life and not allowed to show their face again, and hound the next one out when he comes along too, because these are the idiots who will stand up in the most significant governing body on earth, the Senate, and talk crazy crap about stem cells being more important than human beings. So, you know, I mean, just that's where we stand. And we've got to reevaluate this word tolerance, because it's not a matter of tolerance. Tolerance is not living and letting live. Tolerance is condescending, as our good friend Cindy wrote a couple of minutes ago. She said the big problem is terminology, tolerance. I never like that term. I take it to mean you're settled in your thinking and rather haughty, and if someone different from you comes along, you tolerate them as if they were naughty children to be tolerated. Such a condescending word, isn't it, Bob? She says. I think rather the feeling we should be sharing is respect for others. Yeah, respect. Because then when you talk about respect, as tolerance is something that you have to do with everybody, no matter how insane they are. Ah, but respect. Respect is earned, isn't it? It sure is. Let's go to the phones. Bob joins us from North Dakota. Hey, Bob.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I have to ask you a question. You know, you kind of threw me off balance there for a moment because I know that dinosaurs have been brought back. I saw it. It was on Jurassic Park.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and Bob, you just threw me up. I mean,
and if it hadn't been for Jeff Goldblum, we'd be up to our armpits in Velociraptors.
There you go, Bob. See, you know, you got to stop living in this world of reality that you've been in and start getting into the world of fantasy that they live in. See,
there could be a unicorn around the corner.
There you go. See, and then you could be, you know, kind of a unicorn herder. Hey, this is beyond ridiculous. But hey, let's get a little bit more ridiculous, okay? The other night, you told me to stand down. I did. You know, I says, okay, I only pack my 90% of the time. But I'm armed and I'm dangerous because, hey, I'm a liberal with a view. And I believe that Head On Radio and Bob Kincaid and Joe, Cup of Joe, or what is he now?
Cup of Joe,
out there in Chicago trying to do his thing, yeah?
Yeah.
And we're all trying to do a thing, and that's just to pull some sanity out of this insanity that we're in, right? And the only thing you can do is what I've always told you to do, son. Stand. Just do what you're doing and stand. And hey, you know, it's like Old Glory. She just stands for something. She don't stand for George Bush. And they can wrap themselves in all the flags they want to. It doesn't matter if it has a swastika on it or if it has red, white, and blue on it, or if it has a, you know, what was that one, the boys used to call it the, back there in WW2 when your daddy was out there in that, out there in that Pacific, you know, that it was a meatball.
Yeah.
They all wrap these fascists, these nationalists.
Fascists do love their flags, don't they, Bob?
These nationalists, these fascists, these flag-waving patriots, they all wave something, you know? And I love what Susan said. You know, like I'm trying to teach Linda how to get that middle finger up and wave that back at him, but she's having a little problem right now because she's got this RSV thing that she can't even fold her hand into a fist anymore. You know? She can't even make a fist at him.
Oh.
So the thing is, to the people of the earth, don't live in fantasy. You can watch all these GD movies they send out, okay? You can watch Jurassic Park and realize what it is. It's fantasy, you know? And you can listen to this Congress of the United States and this Senate of the United States and the President of the United States and realize what they're sending out to you is fantasy. And then you can listen to the mainstream media and you can get more fantasy. But if you want to listen to the truth, you tune into this Head-On Radio Network, and maybe there's this guy out there by the name of Bob Kincaid that'll tell you the truth, and you better listen to him, because if you don't get a backbone, then they're going to bend you over, and I don't know which orifice they're going to shove it into you, but it's going up you, and you're going to go down. and you will be on a pike like they did to the Turks when they came into, what was that, Transylvania?
Mm-hmm.
The land of what is this thing?
Oh, sure, Transylvania, sure, Dracul.
Not Dracul. We're not talking about Dracul. We're talking about this VP of the USA.
Same guy.
Yeah, same guy. Same guy. He's a blood sucking demon out of hell, and he's been on Earth, like Mike Malloy says, since time immemorial. Go back to, and you'll find this Dick Cheney, and he's in the same, what is that, they gotta take him to in his Air Force 2, they have these caskets, no, they're called safes or vaults or whatever, that they fly around with this guy, and they gotta take that see, and then you can get into some more fantasy. But this guy, you know, this CEO of Enron, no, not Enron, oh, my bad, okay, Halliburton.
There we go.
The same difference, is it not?
Pretty near.
Yeah, but hey, we don't know what happened to the CEO of Enron. I don't know what vault they got him in now, do you? He's going to be resurrected as another CEO of something else.
Sure.
See, they're all the same, Bob. These repeaters of the evil of the past. I mean, you can go back into the 12th and the 11th and the 10th century and find the same thing, where they tried to destroy true faith, true love, true caring, by whatever means. And they used waterboarding back then. They used to call it they took the witches and, whatever. Anybody that didn't believe, they either got drowned or burned at the stake. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And see, we're coming to that day again because the people are so enamored with this television thing that all they watch is, Fox or MSNBC or NBC or ABC or CBS, and they get the same droning, false, ugly. And if you would wash some of that paint off of them, Bob, they would be just as dead and inhuman as that thing we were talking about, this Dracul and this Dick Cheney, same. Hitler or Goebbels or what was that doctor, not Strangelove, but that was a good movie, huh? And that was fantasy too, but it was, hey, there was a lot of truth in it, you know? A lot of truth. And see, you can find some truth, but they always disguise all the truth. That which is really what they're about. And you talked about these fundies, and I thought, Bob, if you hit him in the back of the head with a baseball bat, and you know, and all you see is this oozy, filthy scum come out of there, and then it would splatter all over you, and that would probably be like on the X-Files, and you'd have some on you, and next thing you know, you'd be one of them. So that's exactly what they're trying to do by making you want to hit him in the back of the head with a baseball bat. Is, if I make you kill me, then you're just like me, because I'll do that to you, see? And I don't want to kill them. I just want them to go away. I want them to kind of like that, if the sunlight, that sunshine comes in on them, it'll fry them. They go poof, they're all gone. So let's get some sunlight. Let's get somebody in the Congress of the United States. That means the Senate also, because the Congress of the United States is the Congress and the Senate together. That the House of Representatives and the Senate makes up the Congress. Is that not true?
Of course.
And then we have this filthy vile thing they call the U.S. Supreme Court. And the only way you can get rid of them is impeachment. Once we get the House and the Senate, and that's where we have to start. We have to clean out the House. If you had 90% Democrats in the House of Representatives and 75% in the Senate, okay, then you would have a truly, truly unquestionably and absolutely, what do you call it, veto-proof Congress and Senate. So people, vote for Democrats and don't vote for these lowlifes that talked to Mike Malloy the other night, these wannabe Democrats and these wannabe Republicans. Get a hold of a real...
Well, yeah, and that's interesting you bring that up, Bob, because there is nothing Democrat and there's, God knows, nothing progressive about Mike Gravel.
Absolutely not.
You know, I've mentioned on a number of times on this program that one of my very, very, very favorite books, right up there with To Kill a Mockingbird, is All the King's Men by Robert Penn Warren. And that book begins, or the political career of the protagonist in that book begins, with a situation in which the protagonist is conned into running for the governor's office, and he's so blind and stupid he doesn't see that he's being put in there to split the Hick vote. Okay, well, this Mike Gravel is the same thing. He is in there to split the progressive vote. He is in there to diminish Dennis Kucinich.
Absolutely. You hit it right on the head. You hit the nail on the head, and you drove it right through the board. In fact, you hit it so hard that you sent it off the Saturn. You actually hit it so hard that it's probably out there somewhere with Star Trek. what is that? They do in Star Trek, and they go warp speed. Scotty, you hit that sucker, and it's a pass of the Andromeda strain. You know what I mean? It's way out there, Bob, but it was a nail that was hit on the head, and Mike put up with him and tried to get some common sense out of him, and after a while, Mike just whooped his butt, and I was so proud of Mike. I just said, get him, boy, get him.
Well, I tuned in for the third hour there, and I heard, I love the one guy who wrote in using the lyrics from The Witch Doctor.
Yeah.
Eep-op, ork-ah-ah, or ting tang, walla walla bing bang.
Yeah,
that one, exactly.
Walla walla bing bang.
Right, exactly, yeah. Because that's what some of this stuff is. And the thing is, one of the things that blows me away is that Gravel, and I heard him do it, Mark Levine interviewed him too.
Yeah.
And Mark Levine had his interview with him from the Take Back America conference here on the Horn, had him yesterday evening. And there is Mike Gravel citing as holy writ, Bob, this book, The Fair Tax.
Oh, no. There is no such thing as a fair tax. There's only tax, Bob. There's no.
Yeah, but wait, Bob. Wait, breathe.
Okay.
I know. I got to do a lot of that.
Yeah, I know you do.
The Fair Tax is, if it's the same book that I'm thinking about, co-authored by none other than this freak, Neil Bortz. Okay?
No.
There is no way that you are a Democrat, there's no way that you're anything approaching progressive, and you're out there citing a book authored by Neil Bortz. Neil Bortz is crazier than an outhouse rat.
Neil Bortz is beyond crazier than an outhouse rat. He is something that, that's something that crawled up out of the sewers, and it's time you flush it away. Please, flush it away. Just don't even think of Neil Bortz as anything human. It's something that it's one of the next five.
I know, but do you see what the Do you see what the operation is here? Do you see what the con is here, Bob?
Hey, Bob, I've seen it since day G.
And you got Gravel saying, I'm afraid of you, Hillary Clinton. You scare me, Barack Obama. And all of us progressives go, oh, they scare us too. And so we think, oh, he must be a progressive. We should like him. Maybe he's better than Dennis. Now, this is plain as day about Dennis Kucinich. It's not about Mike Gravel and it's not about Ron Paul. It's about progressive voters in this country, and it's about trying to dilute their strength because somebody at the in the top tier of either the Democrats or the Republicans is absolutely water-boweled, terrified of Dennis.
Bushes, liars, and thieves. Okay, hey, Bob, I'm going to let you go here in just a little bit, but I got something from Glenda, and this is to the world. Under that Malloy T-shirt, that old ragged T-shirt he's dragging out, or several of them that are black, and he's going to write enough on it, okay? They should put enough BLTs, which stands for enough Bushes, liars, and thieves. Period. And that's from Glenda to the world. Enough BLTs. Yeah, well, that was, I think that was, oh, did I lose you again?
No, I'm right here.
Oh, okay. But it was on the Malloy show where they came out with that T-shirt thing, okay? It was Kennedy boy. What was his name again?
Robert?
Was it Robert Kennedy that said that?
Wait, help me again here.
Oh. Oh, okay. Well, enough was the thing that Kennedy had talked about, and then, you know, he's going to get a T-shirt and stand in the corner with enough on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this guy had called in, and he was talking to Malloy, and he said something about BLTs and, you know, not Bush, liars, and thieves, you know? And Glenda just came up with it. Once you get a T-shirt that says enough BLTs, okay? It's kind of like, okay, if you got a big belly, you know, okay, I had enough BLTs, and those of us that get it will understand it's enough of these Bushes, these liars, and these thieves, because that's all they are about.
Yeah.
You know, the corporatists, the fascists, the liars, the thieves, they've been destroying this country since, oh, God, time immemorial, you know. But time for you to take a break, and then let's listen to the music, and then, you know, okay?
Oh, God, you guys are better at my format than I am.
Well, you just, hey, it's time, and we'll listen to music, and somebody else can jump in here. Maybe I can... Oh, I pray to hear from Andrew, my good friend.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'd love to hear from just about anybody, frankly.
Yeah, well, Andy from the UK wouldn't be bad once in a while either.
Yeah, right. Huh? Yeah, that's a you know, that's the beauty of it. We hear from the entire globe, Bob.
I know you do, and it was
take care, my friend. I'm going to roll on, and we are going to hit that break.
Well, hit it.
There it is.
Get it done.
All right. Later, Bob. Bye now.
Later. Bye-bye.
We'll be back. Hey, Bob's right. Your calls are welcome. 304-658-5912. Jump right in. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob. The burdens of the planet Earth, for gravity, hypocrisy, and the perils of being in 3D. Thinking so much differently. Pardon me while I burst into flames. I've had enough of the world and its people's mindless games. So pardon me while I
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to The Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Stand by your man.
If you missed Strictly Confidential last week, you missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs named their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed Lesbian Bible Study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible, thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't, and so what's up with that?
You missed Kiss and Tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me, and I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed The Pursuit of Happiness.
Are you attached, Mom?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it?
Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
We are a rock revolving around a golden sun. We are a billion children rolled into one. So when I hear about hole in the sky, salt water wells in my eyes. We climb the highest mountain, we'll make the desert bloom. We're so ingenious, we can walk on the moon. But when I hear about the forests have died.
You could just kind of let that roll, Agnes. I wouldn't be broken up. But you can hear it. You can hear the. You can go over to BillyShearsMusic.com. That's S-H-E-A-R-S. BillyShearsMusic.com. That's the Thursday night special. And it certainly beats meatloaf and mashed potatoes in my book. So run on over and check it out. Let's go to the phones. Alan is calling from Alabama, I presume, although he's an over-the-road truck driver. Hey, Alan.
Hey, I'm up in Indiana now.
See, I go and I make an assumption, and look what you do to me.
Yeah, I guess that's a good thing. I went to a family reunion, like I was telling you about, and I almost got into it with a relative from Coleman, Alabama.
Oh, those Coleman people. Yeah, you can't turn your back on them.
Yeah, I could see my father in the middle ducking his head. He said how great Ronald Reagan was, and the people just get out of the way in Iraq, and just if the Iraqis just get out of the way, then George Bush will look like a good guy, you know.
Yeah, the Iraqis are the problem.
Uh-huh.
That sort of makes it clear what we're up against, because there's nothing, you know, that's who's in Iraq is Iraqis. My God.
Yeah. And I guess they should just give in, just like the people in South America, I guess, are doing now. And just give in, and just give in to this corporate power.
Yeah, and just, you know, learn the lesson and understand that if you get in the way of the corporation will, by George, have you killed.
Yeah. I mean, people in the Honduras, people in Venezuela are fighting back, thank goodness.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you're from down central Alabama, though. Before you hit the road, did you see any more coverage about this trial in Birmingham, the Drummond Company trial?
No, I don't listen to the regular radio very often, and I imagine it's going on. I hope they get to the bottom of it.
I hope they win. Their case seems certainly compelling. And if we can whip a few corporations, maybe we can, because you know, these are American corporations doing things to people outside the boundaries of America, and it reflects on you and me, Alan. It reflects on the United States in a totality, and it can't be tolerated. You know, whether it's gun thugs whacking union leaders in Colombia or Honduras or anywhere else in the world, we can't tolerate it.
I know it. When we do tolerate it, it makes the citizens of the United States look bad.
And I got those photographs that you sent me, and it brought back memories of the Drummond Mansion north of Birmingham on I-65, right?
Yeah, that's right. And you see it from the interstate, and he taunts his collection of antique railroad locomotives. This guy collects antique railroad locomotives, yet he can't pay people a decent wage, so he moves his operation to South America, and then when they try to unionize, he has people killed.
Exactly. And bear in mind, when you say collects antique railroad locomotives, it's not like we're talking about H.O. Gage little Lionel, you know, models of the... No, it's the real, live, honest-to-God train engine, and he collects them like some people collect shot glasses from the 50 states.
Yeah, and got miners barely making it by.
Yeah. Oh, they're not even barely making it by in Colombia. I mean, it's not like those people are getting paid a fair wage. Colombia today is like the United States of you know, the 1890s, where working people were, you know, maybe one step above rats.
Yeah, and I don't see how those people even call themselves Christian. I guess a lot of them do. I mean, I imagine Drummond calls himself a Christian, but I don't see how they could do it.
Well, you know, you put your money in the plate every Sunday, and the preacher won't say a word to you. That's how they get away with it.
Uh-huh.
Hey, look, Mr. Drummond built us a new bowling alley. Yeah, that's how it works.
Uh-huh. One time I went by corporate headquarters one time, and I saw this great big bus. It's a great big bus, and the guy that owns our trucking company bought this bus for a church. So they were, you know, thinking that was such a great idea, but I imagine he wrote it off on his taxes, a great deal of it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's why churches qualify as 501c3 charitable organizations. You get a tax break from Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's disgusting.
So you could say in a long run, we pay for it.
Well, I was listening to Peter's show last night, Alan, and he was talking about an Alabama legislator. This guy pulled this stunt about 3 years ago, and now he's doing it again. This Gerald Allen from, I think, Alabama's 62nd District, which is the south end of Tuscaloosa County. Have you heard about this character at all or read about him?
No.
Yeah, he wants to make sure that you can't read, that nobody in any public library in Alabama can read any books authored by a known homosexual or dealing with arguably homosexual themes. You know...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love my home state as much as you do. And because it's a beautiful place, it's a wonderful place, and a lot of great people. And then people like this Gerald Allen come along and muck it up for everybody else.
That's about as bad as trying to ban the Diary of Anne Frank. You remember that? They're trying to do that at one time because it had sexual explicitity in it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. About as bad, huh?
Well, it is, and I don't understand why the people down there tolerate it, because it's just working folks. You know what I mean? I mean, when your governor Bob Riley came out and tried to lower the taxes on poor people, the Republican Party rose up in arms against him.
Oh yeah, I remember that. All over the country.
Yeah.
Republican Party.
And he said he was doing it as a function of his religious training and his religious teaching and his religious upbringing, and the religion people rose up in arms against him. Oh, he's got it wrong. Jesus didn't say don't tax the poor people. Yes, he did.
But Stalin claims he got his idea for communism from Jesus. I guess you heard that, haven't you?
Yeah, well, it's hard not to. I mean, Paul, in his letters, specifically describes communist living situations where everybody held property in common. I mean, that's what it was.
Uh-huh.
But it takes a church. It takes a church to destroy all of that.
Yeah. Hey, you might not believe this, but Birmingham has two Hindu temples.
Well, that's wonderful.
I've been to one of them. A friend of mine invited me one time. He had some kind of special thing for his child.
Mm-hmm.
And just walking through there and looking at all these Hindu gods, which I don't think they even really believe is literal. It's just their symbolism of your daily life.
Yeah, they are. What they are is their, what's the word? Avatars. They're avatars. That word itself is Hindu.
Yeah. What's it? That avatar means something like energy?
Well, it's a manifestation of an energy, yeah, or a manifestation of a belief, or yeah.
Yeah, I think when the Romans first went into areas where there was Hindus, instead of condemning them and killing them all, they compared their religion. So they're like a Zeus compared with Shiva or something like that.
Exactly.
They find the similarities instead of looking at them as evil.
Well, and that's the way the Hindu pantheon's always been. You know, got a god? Bring him in. Welcome to the Hindu pantheon. You can be a god here too.
Uh-huh.
And that's why you get and the thing is, people, the Hindu religion is an overarching thing, and you probably know this as well as I do. And then people sort of find the manifestation of the godhead that most speaks to them. For instance, Ganesh has millions upon millions of followers because Ganesh manifests a love of peace.
Yeah, same with Krishna too, I think.
Krishna, Shiva, Kali, you know, all of them.
Yeah, and when that the Beatles liked.
Wasn't that Krishna? That George Harrison had an affinity for Krishna, I believe.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I was listening to the Freedom From Religious Foundation, their last episode that you could download off the internet, and they had this little tune by Monty Python that you ought to download. It's really cute. It says that every sperm is special, every sperm is great.
Yeah, that's from The Meaning of Life, and if a sperm gets wasted, God gets quite irate.
Oh, it's hilarious. I couldn't help but hold the microphone on CB radio when I'm playing that.
So are you do you get to head home soon?
I just took off. I just had to have my air conditioner fixed this time on my truck. It's one thing you can't do without this time of year.
No, you really can't. And I can only imagine the kind of heat that an engine that size generates.
Uh-huh. Well, I've been looking into getting me a good old union job. I hope I can.
Oh, I hope you can, too. So you drive independent?
No, I drive for one of those big companies that really try to pinch the pennies off of you while the CEO makes a few million a year.
Well, of course, because, you know, it's about the CEOs are what makes the trucks go, right?
Yeah, and they practically laugh at you when you complain. What you could do about it, you know. Yeah,
or fire you. You know, when they're not laughing, they're firing.
I just hire somebody else, that's all, you know.
Exactly, exactly.
That's what our country's turned to, you know, what they call the race to the bottom.
Mm-hmm. And, well, I tell you what, I could never do the job that you do, Alan. You guys, I get passed by trucks on the road and such, and I wonder how folks are able to make a living at it. Of course, then again, up here, you know, it's not long haul trucking, but up here, for instance, I mean, can you imagine this? You're paid by the mile, right? I don't want to get into your business or anything, but you're paid by the mile.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, up here, the guys who haul the coal for the coal company, they're paid by the ton.
Uh-huh.
And they're paid so poorly that there's no way that they can make an honest living. So they have to break the law and run overweight, and you know, they're dangerous. And I've never understood why these guys won't stand up and say, pay me by the mile, pay me by the hour, but this paying me by the ton stuff is a recipe for my own destruction. Is there cohesion among over the road drivers? I mean, like a union, a Teamsters, something like that. If you say that to another driver, does he just shrink away, or does he quietly say, yeah, I kind of wish we could have a union?
Yeah, they all have like a negative attitude, like, oh, people have been saying that, we're going to stick together for years, and nobody does, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I think the closest thing we have to a union is the ones who don't belong to a company that is a union. The closest thing that we have is an organization called OIDA, Owner, Operator, and Independent Drivers Association, which I belong to.
Mm-hmm.
So they lobby Congress to help us out some.
Well, I'll tell you what, I see your art and I see the photos you shoot, and you know, I love getting these calls from along the road, and I want you to stay safe, and I always look forward to hearing from you, Alan.
Yeah, well, I tell you, one of the things that's helped me out more than anything is being a truck driver is listening to MP3 files, listening to Democracy Now! And your show and Tom Hartman's show, and then when I get in a debate with somebody, I just have all the facts right there. It makes it fun.
You can whip these people pretty easy.
They're just fun, you know. I like to even get in debate with people about religion. Like just the other day, some guy, he starts talking about religion around me. He brought up the subject of the Trinity. And I said, there's only one place in the Bible that mentions the Trinity. And if you go back to the earlier translation, it's not there. And a guy tried to bring it out one time. Made that public one time a few hundred years ago, he got burned to the stake. This guy looked too dumbfounded, like, hey, you know all this stuff.
Well, you know, it's if you pay attention, all of this stuff does become rather easily refutable. You know, the people who listen to Rush Limbaugh day in and day out think that, and that's the sad thing, they think the guy's actually telling them truth when he's not even giving them facts.
No.
And you can dissect them in a matter of minutes.
Yeah, you're probably like me, just always like digging for the truth. And when I found public radio years ago, I loved it. But last time I listened to a public radio program, the major subject is what hobby should Hillary Clinton take up? That just made me sick. I just cut the thing off.
It's amazing. You know, I try to conserve fuel these days because it's expensive, and so I don't do a lot of running around and driving around, but if I'm out in the early daytime, you know, I'm a talk radio junkie, and I'll turn the radio on, and there'll be Bortz or there'll be Rush, and yesterday it was the demonization of Jack Murtha. Jack Murtha is why we're not winning in Iraq. And I'm sitting there driving and listening, Alan, and I'm trying to crawl inside the mind of what kind of person could hear that and go, yeah, you're right, it's Jack Murtha's fault that we're not, that, my God, if the person who believes that kind of thing, you got to think that in the morning somebody's got to tie their shoes for them.
Yeah, well, if it makes you feel any better, I seem like I've talked to a lot of right-wingers who just, they're starting to get it, that these people are lying to them.
Well, you know, the thing is, we talk about right-wingers, and there are right-wingers and there are right-wingers out.
Uh-huh.
There are the multimillionaire right-wingers who are making a fortune off of this evil. But then there are the people of whom you probably see a lot down Alabama way, you know, working guys, working women, people who are struggling to make ends meet, people who are 2 weeks away from a paycheck, who have bought into an absolute Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, and they blame it on liberals for some stupid reason.
Yeah, when it's the people they're voting for, they're doing it to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of people, I try to tell them about trade tariffs, and you wouldn't believe how many people just don't even know what a trade tariff is. And that's, I think that's one of the main problems with our trade with China, because of the trade tariffs that have been lifted.
Well, our markets are open to them, but, you know, by dint of economic fact, you know, they can say that they've got open markets with us, but their people can't afford to buy anything we make, and because we've shipped everything overseas, we don't make anything to sell them.
Yeah.
You know, here's Chrysler buddying up with some Chinese auto manufacturer. We're going to have Chinese cars on the road in America in 3 or 4 years, and Ford is going to die. And meanwhile, when Ford drops dead, the American Family Association is going to say, see, they died because they were advertising to the Homer sectionals. And I don't understand it, because people are hurting themselves by buying into this garbage, Alan. I don't mean to preach or anything, but, you know, Alabama talks about, you know, the Klan a year ago while I was down there. The Klan went and rallied in Russellville against the Mexicans. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And there's no Alabama border with Mexico. There's no Alabama border with Costa Rica or Honduras or El Salvador or Guatemala. The reason that you have those low-wage workers in Alabama is because Alabama politicians have shoved right to work down Alabama workers' throats until they can't work for the wages because they're so low.
Yeah. They're not protesting in front of the Tyson plant that's making a lot of money off that low labor.
No. Yeah. This is not rocket science. You know, I've got friends who... grew up, went to college, got themselves decent jobs out of Alabama, of course, and they vote Republican, and their parents worked in textile plants and were able to send them to college, and those parents voted Democrat. But then the 60s came along, and George Wallace came along, and the Civil Rights Act came along, and suddenly those people who had been voting Democrat since Reconstruction suddenly became Republicans. For no other reason than race fear. And once they became Republicans, the Republican Party itself turned on them and started reducing them to a slave class, white or black.
I remember growing up, I had a next-door neighbor that was a union truck driver, and the living standard that he had compared to mine is just the world of difference. He had a wife that he supported who didn't work. He had a nice two-story brick house. He sends two of his daughters to college.
Well, that's what you can do when you've got a good union represented job, because by standing together and negotiating wages and benefits, working people have a chance. But as long as it's one lonesome individual standing against a company that's got 100 lawyers on retainer for no other reason than to screw that one individual, there can't possibly be any sort of wage equity.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, for the life of me, I can't figure it out down there. Figure out why the Deep South hasn't looked up and seen the light. I don't know. Maybe people are afraid. Maybe the scam is so good that both sides are getting all they can possibly stand, and they don't want to wake anybody up.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Eventually, the people will start using the internet more, but then you got Republicans trying to take over the internet.
Yeah, but we still have a significant edge on them, and of course they're working on that for all they can, and that's what net neutrality is about. It's about taking away the free exchange of information that we have here on the internet. That's what shutting down internet radio is about.
Mm-hmm. I called my senator about that. I mean, both of them and the representative.
Good deal. I appreciate it. Well, Alan, we got to go to the news. It's always so good to hear from you. Do stay safe out there on the road, will you, my friend?
Okay, and thanks for taking my call.
Oh, it's always a joy. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Bye now. Love to hear from Alan. And by the way, little programming or network note, John Fox is out of pocket right now because he's changing over to higher bandwidth, and apparently in Australia you have to shut one down before you can turn the other one on. So, yeah, and John is just walking around with the steam coming out of his ears, and he's, you know, he's internet crippled right now, which means he might as well have one of those pro-life pieces of tape across his mouth, only instead of life it'll say internet. So he's out of pocket for about 5 days, but we're going to post one of Alan's paintings, and we'll do a drawing for it next month for those who have used the donate button at headonradionetwork.com. And somebody's going to be the lucky recipient of one of Alan's paintings, and it is just wonderful. You'll hang it in your living room, I promise. It's beautiful. Help yourself to the conversation. Jump right in. The phone number is 304-658-5912. You are welcome to call in. And I look forward to it. This is the Head On Radio Network. This is America's liberal voice, The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
For Republicans, a form of suicide. Republican side!
This is Equality News Network. Late today, the House voted 223-201 to bring the troops home from Iraq in April. President Bush's Republican allies said there's no chance the measure will pass. A similar measure was vetoed by the president this spring. Meanwhile, President Bush is focusing on the positive findings of an interim progress report on the Iraq war. At a morning press conference, the president stressed the 8 benchmarks Baghdad has satisfactorily met per the report. However, critics point out the new government failed to meet 8 others and got mixed reports on yet another 2. The president told reporters the U.S. mission can succeed in Iraq, adding troops would be withdrawn only when military commanders say conditions warrant it. The latest intelligence on al-Qaeda finds the group's operating capabilities have surged to the strongest level since 9/11. A U.S. counterterrorism analyst says, using a relatively safe haven along the Afghan-Pakistan border, al-Qaeda managed to regroup and regain strength. U.S. forces carried out a pre-dawn raid in a Shiite area of Baghdad, which led to a battle that killed 19 people. 2 of the dead were employed by the Reuters news agency. The raid netted 2 suspected militants believed to be involved in kidnappings and roadside bomb attacks. President Bush said today he's sending Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and Defense Secretary Robert Gates to the Middle East next month. The 2 will attempt to strengthen international support for democracy in Iraq. A House committee took the first step towards bringing contempt charges against former White House counsel Harriet Myers, who did not show up to testify about the firings of 9 federal prosecutors today. Myers says that she was following the president's directive. He invoked executive privilege, which the White House says frees Myers from having to testify. The International Atomic Agency, the UN's nuclear watchdog group, has reached an agreement with Iran regarding how to proceed with negotiations over that state's nuclear activities. The Atlanta lawyer who triggered an international health scare by traveling while infected with tuberculosis is now being sued. Passengers who shared an international flight with Andrew Speaker are suing him for $1.4 million, saying he recklessly endangered their lives. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We have science and business news coming up. This is Beyonce. For a performer, a smile is an instant reward. And once you've seen the smiles on the faces of children at Shriners Hospital, you'll know why the Shriners have been providing the world-renowned medical care to kids for over 80 years at absolutely no charge. At Shriners Hospital's innovative research and teaching programs are combined with specialized services and treatment for kids with orthopedic, burn, or spinal cord problems. For more information, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. This is don'talmostgive.org, a message from the Ad Council.
12 scientists in a 41-foot raft made of reeds and wooden planks have set sail. They're trying to reach New York. They're trying to go from New York to Spain. The journey, which is expected to take about 2 weeks, is attempting to prove that Stone Age sailors could have made a similar voyage. Florida's governor is poised to sign an executive order requiring stricter greenhouse gas emissions from automobiles. This legislation would also raise energy standards on new construction and force utilities to generate 20% of their power from renewable sources. The Federal Trade Commission filed a case against Whole Foods in its takeover bid for a smaller rival, Wild Oats Markets. Discovery in the case shows that Whole Foods executive John Mackey waged an internet campaign under a different name to tear down Wild Oats and build up his own company. 92% of Americans favor labels on food revealing the product's country of origin. That's according to a poll by Consumer Reports magazine. Mining giant Rio Tinto has agreed to buy Canada's Alcan for $38.1 billion, creating the world's largest aluminum producer. Wall Street had a record close, soaring 284 points today to close at 13,861. Experts say good retail sales numbers are responsible. The Nasdaq ended up 50, the S&P up 29. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
What, Agnes? Sorry about the news there. They're working on it day and night at QNN. We love them to death. Tony Seaton and his crew out there do a great job day in and day out. And, to sit there and write a I did this for a living once upon a time. Sit there and write a 5-minute newscast every hour for 8 hours and try to make everyone different and yet fresh and engaging. Because the first rule you find out when they sit you down, you know, welcome, you're a network newscaster now, is that if you don't hook them in 20 seconds, you don't hook them. They're not going to go, oh, that story 3 minutes in, that grabbed me. Uh-uh. Because people are listening in their cars, they're listening at work, it's background noise. See, that's part of the problem in America, is that the stuff that we need to meaningfully, actively participate in a democratic process based on Republican principles, because the right-wingers get all upset when you say this is a democracy. We wouldn't want to upset them because they might stand in the Senate and throw rotten vegetables or something. Because they're terrorists. Or tell us that, you know, I don't need anybody else calling Agnes and telling her she's an abomination. And she'll have to get on her beast and ride into town and, you know, drink blood from, I don't know. Yeah. Honey, it's time to go get some kibble for Cerberus. good puppy. You know, you can spend 5 minutes just scratching each individual dog head on Cerberus here. We need significant information in order to meaningfully participate as citizen sovereigns. We don't get it because we have the attention span of oatmeal. Wait a minute, they didn't lead with Paris Hilton? Boop! You know, and it's over. And then after a good long while of Paris Hilton, you go, they led with something, you know, oh, it's Paris Hilton again. Beep! I sometimes think that the news business is specifically designed to keep you from getting any news. Does that make sense? I think it does. On the other hand, there is no other hand. Let me shift gears a minute. I'm going to share a couple of things with you, a couple of fun emails. Got one from our good friend in Canada, Teresa. She says, I'm very, very afraid. Terrorized, if you will. Mr. Chertoff has announced a looming CATA attack that could come anywhere, anytime. I think he knows he's more than he's admitting. It has to be more than a gut feeling. After all, everybody knows that skeletons have no guts. I'll bet he has specific information on the coming attack. After all, there's always someone who needs a new pair of sneakers. I was also extremely terrified at 6 o'clock this morning when CNN announced the alarming news that a plane had been diverted to New York City due to a security threat. I was finally able to crawl out from under the coffee table when, over 2 hours later, they gave the all clear. Apparently, some dim-witted flight attendant went through staff screening when he or she should have gone through passenger screening. since the attendant was off the clock and traveling as an individual. While I was cowering under the table for that 2 hours, many reports came into CNN saying that it was all a misunderstanding. CNN, however, stuck to their guns. Their breaking news banner was displayed proudly throughout the crisis. It made me feel so much safer. Also, it's refreshing to see the take-no-prisoners approach being adopted by the airlines. They did the right thing when they bounced that babbling toddler from a flight the other day. They did that, you know. Those terrorists never stop thinking about ways to harm us, and they're geniuses at wearing disguises. That kid could have been a diminutive Al-Qaeda operative. I'm going to hide under a blanket for the rest of the day. Poor Teresa. As soon as the show's over, as soon as Strictly Confidential is over, I think Agnes and I are going to hide under the blanket, too, and just cower in fear. Fear, America. Fear. It's what's for dinner. But you've heard that before, haven't you? Thanks, Teresa. And a little nugget of information from our good friend David in Middle Tennessee. It's worse than I thought, he says. Far worse. The Nixon Library just shifted over to federal oversight. Prior to that sweet moment, a few things needed to be tidied up regarding statements in some prominent displays at yonder Nixon Library. The items below had to be brought within the bounds of truth, prior to us paying for the memorial to that bastard. The greedy right needs every dollar to swiftboat a few of us in the coming election cycle. Here's what had to be fixed at the Nixon Library before it could be taken over by we the people. These are things that they had posted on displays at the Nixon Library. Okay? Really. One, Nixon had nothing to do with Watergate. It was done by, quote, his Republican rivals, unquote. Wow, that's an oldie but a goodie. David Vitter hauled that one out for why he was caught running around with hookers in a diaper. Two, Nixon's loss to Kennedy was, in their debates, was, quote, myth propagated by Dems and their media pals. And that was mythical sweat rolling down Nixon's swarthy face, too. Three, Woodward and Bernstein bribed people to get untruthful versions of the story on the record. David writes, until a couple of months ago, a wingnut mom and dad could take a little repig to the Nixon Library and say, "See, sonny, that's why we worship his memory and hate the liberal media." Thanks, David. Lord. You know, and I mean, that's not satire. That's not parody. That's how it is. And by the way, speaking of David Vitter's, let's hang on to this one. Let's flog this horse for a little while. It's still breathing, but it's on the ground. I don't think we've succeeded until we have hounded this hypocritical bastard out of the political life. And frankly, I feel that way about a lot of them. I'd give anything to know what nasty things Mitch McConnell does outside his marriage to Elaine Chao. But then again, he's such a pinch-faced old freak. He probably couldn't have sex unless it involved something dead. So, you know, I don't know. Follow Mitch McConnell out to the dump some night and see what happens. He's a rotten, vile, sleazy SOB. Jeff Sessions probably makes his wife put on a Klan robe before he does her, if he does her. Saxby Chambliss, Jim Demented down in South Carolina, Tom Coburn in Oklahoma, the guy that was convinced that there is a nest of rampant lesbianism in the junior high schools of southeastern Oklahoma. He said that. So you know what gets him off. Oh, Larry Flint, I don't think you've got enough money to catch all these bastards. But if you did, I'd sure be willing to help you do it. I've got something here, and it'll be the first time I'm hearing it, too. I'm guessing it's good. See, we got to build that second studio here someday. I've got some old David Vitter's campaign audio for you. Are we ready for this, Agnes?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's check this out. Okay, this would be dead air.
I'm David Vitter. I'm running for the U.S. Senate because there are a lot of things I want to change, like our welfare. I think recipients should work for their benefits. And we need to change the law so that the Social Security Trust Fund can never be raided and spent on other programs. And we must end politics as usual in Louisiana because corruption is costing us jobs. Bottom line, for the sake of our children, there are a lot of things I'm going to change.
Great, David. You can start by changing Jack.
I'm David Vitter, and I approve this message.
Hi, I'm making a commercial about my dad. His name is David Vitter. Roll film. This summer, I filmed our family's bus trip across Louisiana. People really liked Dad, especially his jobs plan. Way to move it, Dad. During the next few
Way
weeks,
you'll be
seeing a lot of commercials from us.
Do I get to say something?
If you have to. Cue cards, sound, action!
I'm David Vitter, and I approve this message.
Can we try it again, this time with feelings?
When our twin daughters, Lise and Ari, were born, we had some scary moments. For days, they were hooked up to wires in the ICU. It made me realize that when your kids are sick, nothing else matters. That's why I broke with my own party to vote for a real patient's bill of rights. Why I fought for funding for high-risk pregnancies at Women's Hospital. Because in life's most important moments, we're not Republicans or Democrats. We're parents. I'm David Vitter, and I approve this message.
You go to hell. Oh, evil, evil, hypocritical monster. What did he say? He really didn't reference the bottom line and changing, did he? But this is how they are. We have, you know, we regulate advertisements for political office as political speech, and therefore it gets this giant pass under the First Amendment. When in fact, all it is fraud. And you know what? As far as political advertising is concerned, I will go so far, and this as a registered Democrat, please, as to suggest that all political advertising has the air about it of fraud. Because it's advertising. Advertising is per se fraudulent. There is no truth in advertising law. No, there's not. You know, that's a discussion I've had along the way. People say, well, doesn't that violate the truth in advertising law? There isn't one! It's advertising. It's a walk down the midway at the carnival, for the love of God. They don't have to tell you the truth. They can sit there and lie to you. David Vitter can sit there and tell you that he has family values, and he can make campaign commercials featuring his charmingly, barely adolescent daughter. When all the time he's running around with hookers. Now, for my part, as a liberal, as a progressive, I think prostitution should be legal. And I think professional sex workers should have the best health care in the country. Male or female. Because the only stock in trade that these people have is their own human flesh. But instead, under the moral values of the Republican Party, they're criminals. Tell me how that is a manifestation of any American value. They're working people. And they work more and harder under more revolting conditions than just about any other worker in the United States. I mean, really. There are prostitutes out there, even as we speak, who are putting on better acts than anybody in Hollywood. You know, when the really old guy walks in and the pretty young thing looks up and says, "Come here, tiger." That needs an Academy Award. And it's people looking for connection and people looking for a way out of the alienation that is 21st century American life. And the right wing calls them criminals. And instead of catching Al-Qaeda operatives, if you recall in 2001, John Crisco Boy Calico Cat drape over the statue of Justice Ashcroft was announcing his big bust of, oddly enough, prostitutes in New Orleans. And by the way, just following up on some of this David Vitter stuff, the madams just won't shut up now. The madams feel almost compelled to talk about Senator Villas. By the way, Senator Villas is sort of MIA right now. Yeah, well, he's hiding from his wife. But his madam has begun telling her story, and she has said, this is an excerpt from a blog from Andrew Sullivan. Yeah, I know, Andrew Sullivan. "Some of the fantasies at the Canal Street brothel got a little rough. For those who liked that kind of stuff, there were whips, chains, and a lot of leather. Jeanette, the madam, says that most of the clients who wanted to be dominated were Republicans." She cracks a smile and then adds, "They wanted to be spanked and tortured and wear stockings. Republicans have impeccable taste in silk stockings. And these are the people who run our country. Republicans have impeccable taste in silk stockings. However, it would be Republican guys who have that impeccable taste in silk stockings, and they have impeccable taste in those silk stockings because they like to wear them. And as a liberal and a progressive, I say, wear 'em, brother. Or sister. Wear 'em. If you find a nice pair of pumps you like, wear them too. I don't care what you wear. The clothing on your body does not make you what you are as a human being, because that is way, way, way under the skin. But I guess that's because I'm a dirty heathen liberal. Because a lot of these Republicans and these conservatives are chained up inside the tyranny of the Old Testament. In writings that were composed by people for whom the wheelbarrow was a damn miracle. "And thou shalt not put on the raiment of a woman if thou art a man. And no woman shall wear the raiment of a man if she be a woman." The hell, they were all wearing skirts. Who knew? How could you tell? They did, what was this, about bracelets and bangles and necklaces? Because they were all wearing the same rough, coarsely woven, smelled like a goat dress. Because these were barbarians. Please understand that the Bible was written by barbarians. They didn't know why it rained. They thought that thunder was a manifestation of the anger of the invisible cloud god. And we've got people in the 21st century in America who want to rule America based on the superstitions of people 6,000 years ago. who wipe their butts with leaves and then wrote rules about which hand you shook hands with or touched your food or what, because they had to have a rule with it because the people were so damned ignorant they didn't otherwise know not the rule. Meanwhile, Jeanette says that most of the clients who wanted to be dominated were Republicans. You know why most of the clients who wanted to be dominated were Republicans, who wanted to be spanked and told they were naughty? Because these people are control fetishists. They might like leather, but they love control. And they're in control, and they exercise power, and power descends from them, and it's all around them, and there's pressure, and there's stress, and these people have hearts that just go when they're 55 years old, because it's nothing but stress, 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 stress. So they go to a hooker, and they have to pay her to let them relinquish power for a little while and be acted upon instead of acting. Because their happy, healthy, traditional family values marriages can't stand that level of honesty. Because wifey at home, being a little right-wing conservative wife, is about as orgasmic as a teapot. She wouldn't know an orgasm if it introduced itself to her at a tea party. And her idea of sex is to lie back and think of England. And their idea of birth control is abstinence inside of marriage. Well, dear, we've had sex twice and we've got two children. I don't want to get preachy about this. But I wish, because you see these healthy, happy, hetero, right-wing, conservative, family values marriages are bug spray. They're every bit as much of a fraud as a David Vitter's commercial is, because they don't love each other, and the smiles are plastic, and this is not my beautiful home, and this is not my beautiful car, and this is not my beautiful wife. My God, what have I done here? And so, in their loneliness, and in the darkness of their fear, and in the quiet of their terror, they seek out a prostitute. And in that moment, they confess that their entire life is a lie. Their religion is a lie. Their politics is a lie. Their lifestyle is a lie. The house is a lie. The Lexus is a lie. The Hummer is a lie. The wife is a lie. The kids are a lie. The credit cards are a lie. The power bill is a lie. The water bill is a lie. The power on Capitol Hill is a lie. The cocktail parties and the lobbyists and the golf outings and the weekends are a lie. Because they are conservatives and they are Republicans and they worship at the altar of a lie. This is the Head On Radio Network. You want to get involved? There's a few minutes left. 304-658-5912. This is America's liberal voice, The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Talking much too loud, running up and down the stairs. But it seems to me that you have been too much in too few years. And though you try, you just can't hide. Your eyes are aged with tears. You better stop and look around. Here he comes. Here he comes. Here he comes. Here he comes.
If you missed Strictly Confidential last week, you missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs name their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed Lesbian Bible Study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible. Thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't. So what's up with that?
You missed Kiss and Tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me. And I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed The Pursuit of Happiness.
Are you attached, Mom?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it?
Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to.
Calendar for Saturday evening, July 21st, because at 9 p.m. until midnight Eastern, Billy Shears will be right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn. You're going to just love night sounds. We'll have plenty of great music and more. So, is it a date? We'll be waiting for you, Saturday night, July 21st. Be there.
Yoo-hoo.
Hello.
Hey, Al.
Excuse me, sir. Mr. Gore.
Hello.
Hey, Al. This is the Vice President.
Mr. Gore, we need you for president.
We deserve a president we can respect.
We deserve a president we can respect. Who has experience
and compassion.
Who is the most qualified.
Who is a proven leader.
Al Gore. Right on Iraq. Right on global warming. Right for the 21st century.
Join us at DraftGore.com and supporting Al Gore for the Democratic nomination for president.
Sign the petition at DraftGore.com.
Paid for by the committee to draft Gore. He won once. He can win again.
Seven and a half minutes before the hour, we'll roll on home as I'm sure Peter Godbold prepares for another 2 hours this evening following this program. I want to, and there's a story I wanted to make sure that I got to this evening because it is important, and this is beyond just me carping about. The hypocritical, fraudulent existences of right-wing goons. And it has to do with a Supreme Court decision that came out on Monday, 3 days ago. Boy, I tell you what, I really get the breaking news, don't I? Hey, look, we've only got 3 hours. If I was on the air for 12, we'd probably hit everything that needed hitting in a day. But I got to leave some room for somebody else to talk. Because it would just be rude otherwise, and you'd get bored in a hurry, and I'd lose my voice. We can only brew so much iced tea during a day. I'm sorry, Agnes can only brew so much iced tea during a day.
Thank you, Feyre.
You're welcome, Nefertiti. Now, this is one of those particularly egregious cases. The Supreme Court ruled this past Monday. No, not this past Monday. Jesus, this is a month old. Oops, the baby.
It's not my fault.
Oh, no. This is not your fault. This is my fault. No, this can't be. Because I'm looking... Yeah, okay. The decision came down June 11th. Apparently, it's just now hitting the wires. I'm not responsible for what goes on at the wire services, okay? Now, this is from the Associated Press. The Supreme Court ruled that home care workers are not entitled to overtime pay under federal law. Do you guys already know this? Because I'm only seeing the story today, and I'm only seeing the commentary on the story today. The case centered on a 1975 Labor Department regulation. Let's see, 1975. That would be the Ford Administration Department of Labor, which means, by definition, the Department of Labor in the hands of someone who despised working people, because Ford was, after all, a Republican, and working people are nothing more than bloody little meat cogs in the great machine. The unanimous decision upheld, and pay attention, unanimous decision upheld a 1975 Labor Department regulation exempting the nation's 1 million home care workers from the protections of the Fair Labor Standards Act. Wow. Just let that one bang around inside your skull for a few minutes. 1 million workers in America were exempted from coverage under the Fair Labor Standards Act. You out there, Wayne? You catching this, brother? Justice Stephen Breyer wrote for the majority, the unanimous majority. We'll come back to that unanimous thing. The unanimous majority that the agency did not exceed its authority when it left home care workers without overtime protection, and that, quote, courts should defer to the department's rule. Oh, suddenly, wait. No, I'm not going to go there. Nancy Duff Campbell is co-president of the National Women's Law Center. Nancy Duff Campbell said the decision is another blow to struggling low-wage women. Yeah, an economic blow. If their husbands did physically to them what the Supreme Court did to them, then the husband would be hauled away to jail. The Supreme Court does it to them, and they go home to another dinner of caviar and lumpfish guts, or whatever high-toned food these filthy rich people eat. Not the beans and rice that Maria gets when she goes home after putting in 16 hours without overtime pay, if she's lucky. The overtime case was brought by lawyers for Evelyn Koch. Evelyn Koch is 73 years old. Evelyn Koch is retired. She spent more than two decades of her life, 20 precious years that she could never get back, taking care of sick people and elderly people like she is now. Her health is failing, and there is no one there to care for her. Her employer, in all her years of work, never paid her a penny for overtime. The Fair Labor Standards Act, of course, is the law that says that if you work more than 40 hours a week, you're entitled to time and a half. And the funny thing is, that was put in... Just a little labor history moment here. The Fair Labor Standards Act was the overtime provisions were put in so that employers would be encouraged to hire more workers. Not to make sure that workers got to work lots of overtime and make time and a half. That wasn't the point. It was to make sure that employers would hire enough people to fill out a work schedule as opposed to just taking the workers that they had and working them into their damn graves. Because human beings are not draft animals. Yes, they are, according to the unanimous Supreme Court. Now, I think I've mentioned this, and we're going now. That's where we're going. We're going to unanimous now. That means all 9 members of the Supreme Court. That means Scalia, who is a monster. That means Thomas, who is a monster. That means Alito, who is a monster. That means Roberts, who is a monster. That means Kennedy, who is a monster. But it also means that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is a monster. And it means that Breyer is a monster. And it means that Stevens is a monster. And it means that Souter is a monster. Because when you sit on that high bench and you peer down past your pince-nez spectacles over your nose and sneer at a woman who spent 20 years of her life wiping shit off of people's asses and did it not for 8 hours a day, but for 9 and 10 and 12 and 16 and 20. When you look down your nose at that human being and say that they are not entitled to the enforcement and protection of the law of the United States of America, you, by God, are a monster. And it's decisions like this. See, it's easy to take the Supreme Court decisions like bong hits for Jesus, where the monsters that are monsters and they walk around in public with the horns and the capes and the tails and the cloven hooves and the pitchforks and so forth. And, you know, oh, look, a monster! Yeah, that's a monster. That's easy. Bong hits for Jesus is easy. Screwing up the McCain-Feingold campaign finance reform and pointing out the monsters involved with that is easy. But the curtain only really comes down on a unanimous decision like this. Because, you see, there's no such thing as liberal, and there's no such thing as liberal on the Supreme Court of the United States. Not anymore. And very seldom in the history of the Supreme Court has there been any such thing as a liberal on the court, if ever. Because even at his or her most liberal, any judge is conservative by nature. Because a judge on the bench is supposed to be all filled with righteous rectitude. And a judge's business is maintaining the status quo in this country. During the mine wars in West Virginia, I don't care if you were called a liberal or a conservative, injunctions flowed out of Charleston, and they always flowed against the working people and never against the depredations and the murder and the mayhem of the companies. And it's not just West Virginia, it's anywhere in this country that workers have ever stood on their hind legs and demanded to be treated like human beings. Unions have always had to fight 2 and 3 front wars because they would have to fight against the employer. And they'd have to fight against law enforcement because law enforcement would be brought in as an arm of the company. And they'd have to fight against the local militias and the National Guards. And then they'd have to fight against the damn courts. Thus has it ever been. Thus, I suppose, will it ever be. Again, I guess we finish this program where we started it. and we bring it full circle. Because the two things that I had on my mind for this program tonight, because I'm a bear of very small mind, and I can't handle 19 or 20 different stories going at one time. The two things I had on my mind were the religious freaks in the gallery at the Senate hissing at a priest of truly a religion of peace that doesn't believe in killing other living things, if possible. I had that, and I had this story. Because you know what? They're the same story. They are stories of man's inhumanity to man. They are stories of one segment of society's desire to create an artificial barrier with another segment of society. Whether it's religion or working people, you know, the Supreme Court is no different than the people standing in the gallery in the Senate today. Because they said they were not going to tolerate some 73-year-old woman getting all uppity and demanding that she be paid for the finite, precious hours of her life that the law of the United States of America should have extended to her and did not. Over at let's back up a little more fact. The appeals court in the case said it was implausible that Congress would have wanted the Labor Department to wipe out protection for an entire category of workers. The Supreme Court, however, was wrong about what Congress intended, according to Harold Craig Becker, the lead attorney for Ms. Cook. And, of course, what's the argument against paying one of these women what she deserves? Well, in New York City, the annual cost of the Medicaid-funded personal care services program would rise by at least $250 million if the appeals court decision is allowed to stand, the city says. You know what I say? So what? I think there are people out there who can afford to pay enough taxes to get that done. Because you know what? Mr. Drummond down at the Drummond Coal Company, he's had people rubbed out so he could maximize his profits. There are CEOs, multimillionaires, billionaires all over this country who could cover that. We could probably cover that just by returning the tax rates to something reasonable, such as what existed in the Clinton administration. Because oddly enough, during the Clinton years, the tax rate was... listen to any right-winger, all of taxing us to death! And yet, during the Clinton administration, the rich got richer than they've gotten under the Bush administration. Funny how that works, isn't it? Because, you see, Republican tax policy is just a cheap ruse. It's another fraud. We've been talking about fraud tonight. It's another fraud. It's another phony. It's another ginned-up, dummied-up, faked-up con for just getting to be rotten and vile and mean and nasty. Over at Common Dreams, there's commentary on this case by Annette Bernhardt, What We Owe the Working Poor. And she's got a little bit more detail. For Evelyn Koch, she writes, the decision means that the many overtime hours she put in during decades as a home care worker will remain unacknowledged and underpaid. For our nation, the decision is a stark reversal of our goal to have all workers be treated equally under the law. Home care workers spend their days, well, we've talked about that in rather graphic terms. Their median income is $19,000 a year. Hey, Mr. Drummond! How much would somebody have to pay you to wipe shit off somebody's butt? I bet there's not enough money in the world, is there, Mr. Drummond? For the past 3 years, researchers at the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University Law School of Law have been documenting this problem in New York City, industry by industry. and they've conducted hundreds of interviews with workers, employers, government officials, community groups, and legal service providers. What they found at the Brennan Center is a world that lies outside the experience and imagination of many Americans. A world in which workers are paid less than the minimum wage, and sometimes nothing at all, in which employers don't pay overtime for 60-hour weeks or provide legally required meal breaks, in which health and safety regulations are routinely ignored, and which workers are often punished for speaking up or trying to organize. Gee, you know, go read it. I found it at Common Dreams, but it comes from The Nation magazine. Common Dreams reprinted it. This is a very nice, cogently written article by Annette Bernhardt. And I'm getting to the point where I think that nice and cogently written are proving very ineffective. The fact of the matter is, if you recall, during the first Bush administration, the first 4 years of this George W. Bush nightmare, we had the attack on overtime. And what did the conservatives say? Well, it won't hurt anybody. It won't matter. It won't make a difference. It made a difference. You're damn right it made a difference. It's another ripoff. It's another theft. It's another burglarization of working Americans' wallets. And there's no cops to call. Because the theft is legal, and it was accomplished by 9 monsters on the Supreme Court. I don't ever want to hear about liberal judges again. There's no such thing. No such thing. Susan is calling. Hey, Susan, welcome back.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Hanging in there. Can I shift the subject a little bit?
Sure.
There is, as you know, the internet radio things due to go into effect on the 15th.
Yep, 3 days from now.
Yeah.
Two,
there
effectively.
There is, however, a bill in the Senate. It is Senate Bill 1353. It has been referred to committee.
The Internet Radio Equality Act, isn't it?
Exactly. There is a post about it on the main page of the blog. What everybody needs to do is get on the horn to their senators and say, please get that bill out of committee and onto the floor, because otherwise it's going to sit in committee and die.
Which committee is it in? Do you know offhand?
Judiciary.
Okay. That's Leahy, that's Feingold, that's a number. Well, okay, yeah. All right. And, of course, a bunch of Republican freaks who would love to kill it, I'm sure. But if it doesn't come out to the floor in the next day or so, we're done.
Well, I don't know.
I don't mean we're done. We're not, you know, we're not
no,
really it, subject
it,
to it.
No, I don't know exactly. It might correct it retroactively. It might, you know, go in and say, okay, you may have changed this. We're changing it back.
Yeah.
Because I don't know the exact language of the bill. I didn't read it. It was written by my Senator Ron White. He introduced it.
Oh, very good. Good on him. Yeah. Well, I hope something can happen. Because, well, you know, I'm finding out, apparently, and I'm not trying to spread gossip or anything, but you know that one site, what is it, live365.com? It's a site where you can do your own radio. I don't know if you're familiar with it at all. But a lot of people who want to do a radio show or whatever, they go over there, they jock their music, they put together their playlists, and, you know, people tune in and listen, and it's fun.
Yeah.
Well, and there's a little itty-bitty bit of talk programming there. I'm hearing that they're going under. And this
I'm
was
not
a,
surprised.
This was a very, and the thing is, they're already making plans to go under as of July 15th, because, and this is the scary part, apparently, the RIAA and its various organizations.
Now you know why I despise RIA.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, I haven't seen the correspondence. I don't know this for a fact, but the impression that I get from the way people are acting, these people already have the dogs at the doors with the muzzles off, and they're going to lose them at 12:00 on the
15th. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. That's what I would do if I was had one of these deals. I would shut it down, and hopefully Wyden's bill goes through, passes, and then we can hopefully with a veto-proof majority.
Yeah.
And then
do you think for a wait? Do you think for a second George Bush would sign this bill into law?
Hell no, that's why I said veto proof.
I know, and what makes you but see, that's the thing. That's what's so disturbing out of all of this. Every time we think we've got a decent piece of remember the old I'm only a bill on Capitol Hill schoolhouse rock thing, political rock or whatever it was, and it shows the simplified process and the bill goes and they vote on the bill and the president either. Well, you know, that doesn't work that way anymore. You know, and it was, you know, we need a stop sign on Main Street, and that was the subject of the, and so it goes all the way up. And but you see, this Republican, if this Republican minority that is being allowed to run roughshod over the majority in the Senate, largely because of Joe Lieberman, I might add, if in that analogy the stop sign needed on Main Street. If there were 1,000 people a day, if 1,000 pregnant women a day were being killed at that Main Street intersection,
wouldn't matter. Bush would.
Well, no, it's not Bush. It's the Republican. It's Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
It's Trent Lott.
Do anything.
It's the same usual filthy suspects in the Senate, and they would stop it. And for all of their pro-life ranting, they would go on letting 1,000 pregnant women a day be run over at Main Street and keep that stop sign from going in to advance their political agenda, because Susan, these rotten bastards love their political party more than they love their country.
Exactly. That's why we need to get a veto-proof majority in there.
See, that's the I can't buy that, because there's not going to be a Republican in the White House in 2008. This is one of those Dole cycles. They'll put up a Bob Dole to get his ass whipped. They want a Democrat in there so they can blame a Democrat for losing the Iraq War. Okay? So talking about a veto-proof majority in 2008 is really kind of moot, because theoretically...
No, I want a deep veto-proof majority in the Congress so that I don't care when or if we lose the White House again. We've still got the Congress.
Well, it's worth working for. I understand that, it's valuable. However, the problem lies between now and then.
And I have a feeling,
and
if Al runs, he ain't going to be no placeholder.
No, he won't. But we keep, if Al, he's turning into our hope, because we keep looking at with the exception of Dennis Kucinich, we're looking at the rest of the Democratic field going, ugh.
Yeah. Anyway, the bill's number is S-1353. Call your senators, people. That's your homework assignment.
S-1353.
Yeah.
All right. Good deal. Thank you, Susan.
No problem. Bye.
Bye. And that's it. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow evening. Fascinating conversation on the way tomorrow evening with Robert Greenwald. Iraq for Sale premieres on Starz Cinema on Saturday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Thanks, Agnes, for producing. Thanks, everybody who called. Thanks who didn't call. Thanks in the everybody in the chat room. Thank you to the moderators. If you've never been to the chat room, you really should go. Thanks to our news ninjas. Many thanks to Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk. Everything that happens on the horn happens because of Ben Birch. Thanks to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters, who helped us get the horn started and are thereby helping us save the American dream while they build the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you. We'll be right back.
This is the Quality News Network. The White House today is scheduled to officially release the most recent progress report on the war in Iraq. The document says the Baghdad government has satisfactorily met 8 out of 18 political, economic, and security goals set as benchmarks by the U.S. On Capitol Hill, a Senate panel will hear details of a government sting designed to demonstrate weaknesses in the Nuclear Regulatory Commission's licensing system. Federal investigators were awarded a permit to receive enough radioactive materials to dirty bomb. The NRC says it has now closed the loopholes exploited in the undercover investigation. President Bush and senior national security officials will meet in Washington today to discuss a recent intelligence report that says al-Qaeda has strengthened its operating capabilities worldwide. The analysis says the terrorist group has found a safe haven in remote areas of Pakistan. Al-Qaeda today encouraged Pakistanis to rebel against the government of President Pervez Musharraf. The call to arms follows a battle between Pakistani troops and Islamic militants in Islamabad's Red Mosque compound. At least 80 were killed in the two-day siege, including a leading radical cleric. In southeastern Afghanistan, along the Pakistan border, a roadside bomb targeted a U.S.-led convoy today. 6 Afghan policemen were killed. Conducting a survey of Internet servers, the Associated Press reports sensitive military information has routinely been posted online by government agencies and contractors. The data includes details of military facilities and programs related to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. The Pentagon's Inspector General is criticizing the process by which 2 U.S. companies were awarded contracts for providing armored vehicles for U.S. troops in Iraq. The Defense Department report says troops were endangered because the companies failed to meet their delivery schedules. Competitive bids were not solicited for the multi-billion dollar contracts. Funeral services are pending for former First Lady Lady Bird Johnson following her death yesterday in Austin, Texas. She was 94. Gold is trading at $663.70 an ounce. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Stay tuned. Science and business are next.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm washing the car. You want to help?
No, I don't want to be a polluter.
Whoa, I'm not polluting. I'm just washing the car.
If your car wash water is going down the street and into the bay, then you're a polluter.
Oh, really?
I'll help you clean this up, but what you should do next time is go to a local car wash.
And pay money?
Pay money for them to recycle the water and keep all that pollution out of the bay. I think it's really worth it.
Taking care of the marine sanctuary is your duty. From Mayos at Monterey High.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
NOAA is poised to grant a 5-year extension to the Navy for use of low-frequency sonar employed to detect submarines. Environmentalists oppose the move, saying the technology harms whales, dolphins, and other marine mammals. A dozen scientists in a 41-foot raft have launched an expedition from New York to Spain in an attempt to prove Stone Age sailors could have successfully crossed the Atlantic Ocean. The journey is expected to take 2 weeks. The raft is made of reeds and wooden planks. Retail giants Walmart, Tyco, and Target have endorsed a newly established website designed to field reports of official corruption and bribery in the U.S. and abroad. Bribeline.org is operated by a Maryland-based nonprofit. The World Bank estimates bribery